You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
Eusebius, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing? Are you well? You had a good weekend?
Lekkers was the cracker.
Who won the chess game, by the way? Because you were playing chess on the weekend. He puts a picture up of his opponents and everything. We never hear of the results. it's just funny. Everybody was putting pictures up of Zuma playing chess, which I found, you can't even escape him there.
You know what? I wish the president's keepers would stop thinking that this guy is scared of coming to 702. One of the things I'd love to do, if Jay-Z ever had to grant us an interview, is to make sure we have time for a chess game. I'd love to see how good he actually is.
Yes.
Because he plays chess. I love chess. That'll be, can have a game outside while he's waiting.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Wouldn't you like to see one of those big chess parks somewhere in Sandton, like you see them abroad? We don't have one, and it's such a great game.
There's one that has led to some wonderful stories, including a talented South African who's now about to play internationally, and also a couple of good stories I've seen, I think, in the City Press. Apologies to another newspaper if I'm misdirecting them with credit, about the one in Joubert Park.
Oh, really? Is it still there?
Yes. And
wow.
I read the story and I got goosebumps because it's a lot of vagrants, a lot of homeless people, migrants.
Beautiful.
In and out of the city, and they play chess and it's quite competitive.
Well, we should do something like this.
Yeah.
We should have one of these,
every
like 25, 30 kilometers.
Absolutely. In the meantime, the world of technology.
There is, and I don't know about you, but I don't know, the older I get, I kind of become a bit forgetful and I forget where I put things. And I came across these guys at CES, a company called Chipolo. And what Chipolo does is they make these tiny, tiny devices that when you forget something, you put them on your key ring, you can put them, they make one that slides into your wallet. It's like half the size of a small credit card. And then what you do is you attach it to, you link it up to your phone, okay? And then there's an app, and if you forget where your thing is, you just press, it's a simple thing, but it just works so well. So you turn on your app, and if you can't find your wallet, as I can't in this case, I've got it sitting right next to me, and then I press a button, and you'll hear it going, can you hear it? There's my wallet over here. And it's next to one of the microphones in the other studio. So it connects via Bluetooth, and then I kind of track the noise and I find my wallet. But what's cool about it, and I've stopped it ringing now, it's small, Eusebius. It's like this. There you go. Can you see
it?
And it's got the battery life of a year.
Yeah.
They make a smaller one that fits around your key ring, so you can trace your keys if you lose them. And what's amazing is, although it's Bluetooth, people say, well, what happens if you forget your wallet somewhere else and you're not going to remember where? It remembers the last location that it was closest to your phone. So in this case, I can put up a map and it says I'm at Prime Media Place and it sees that, it's I'm here. So if I've left it at home, for example, and I'm searching for it here, I'm not going to hear the noise, but I know that it's at home because that's where the last location was picked up.
Very cool.
And then they've got another cool thing because they've got thousands of these people around the world that have got these devices. So if your device gets lost, if you lose a wallet or your set of keys, you put it as lost. And if Eusebius is walking past the Sandton CBD and happens to come across your keys, it'll alert me that Eusebius walked past your lost keys, which is quite cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've spoken about the Apple Watches and just generally where technology is going with these wearable devices, because they're working out all sorts of interesting algorithms. We worked out a few months ago that they're using this to basically track your heart and how your heart's doing, and they can start detecting atrial fibrillation, hypertension, sleep apnea by just using your watch and the stats that it generates. Now they've added a new one to the list, and this is diabetes. And they've done this study with a group from Cardiogram. Cardiogram is an app that you can actually download on your phone, and you put your finger over the camera and get your heart rate. But Cardiogram works together with the Apple Watch, and they've basically worked out that you can get an early detection of whether you are prone to diabetes or whether diabetes is on its way, just by simply how your heart reacts to exercise or when you're doing something strenuous, how quickly your heart recovers. And from that, they're able to detect what the likelihood of you getting diabetes is. And they're getting this to an accuracy level of 85%. So imagine if you've got these devices just tracking – without you realizing what your heart's doing, amazing. And then picking up some vital stats to say, hey, Eusebius, you need to keep an eye on your diabetes because, you know, you're prone to it. You're around the corner from getting diabetes. Change your lifestyle to avoid this happening.
And how good is 85%?
85% is the initial study. It's going to get a lot more accurate in future as they take that algorithm and as they take the data and make it more accurate, it's going to get a lot more accurate. Mm-hmm. So we're picking up amazing, amazing data just from the stuff that we're wearing. And then finally, I don't know if you got a chance to have a look at the opening ceremony of the Winter Olympics, but when I was at CES, Intel have been working on this technology. They've got quite a few technologies on the go, but they've got these shooting star drones and they had a few hundred of them over one of the hotels. And it looked absolutely spectacular. So if you get a chance, go to YouTube and Google Intel drones because they've used them at the Super Bowl. I think they used them at one of Lady Gaga's concerts. But at the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, the opening ceremony, they used them over there. Although technically they didn't use them because it was actually a bit of a trick one. Because the weather was so bad, they used the footage they used when they actually did the trial run a few days before that. So the televisions were showing the opening ceremony, but they switched over to the footage that they'd recorded when they did the trial run because the weather conditions were very bad and the drones would have all crashed into each other. But they used these drones and the unmanned aerial vehicle airborne drones, they call them. They've set a new Guinness World Record. They used over 1,200 of these, and each of these drones, which weighs about 200 grams, has got a special light in it, a special LED light. It changes color. But please do yourself a favor and see what they've been able to create by these drones flying in formation, over 1,200 of them. They created the Olympic rings.
Oh, wow.
They created a skier in the sky. It's just amazing. And it's all done using one computer and artificial intelligence and big data, and they're just making these things coordinate well with each other. It's quite astonishing to try and get so many of these flying machines doing the same thing simultaneously without crashing into each other is mind-blowing.
Stunning.
And that's me.
Audio to be used? Was that a lie?
Oh, yes. Actually, I do. This is... Yes, thank you very much. This is,
you are demonstrating forgetting.
I go back to my first point about this. Yes, this is the Intel team. This is, if you want more insight, this is the one of the people that heads up the program talking about what they actually did in Pyeongchang.
We've mostly done shows about 300, so to jump to 1,200 is a big deal operationally. What can we do? What's the most we can do? How far can we push this technology?
Our drones had never flown in such cold temperatures.
We had a team that went to the Alps to test in negative 10, 15 degrees C, basically withstand those conditions to find out what's possible.
Winds are holding good at 1 meter per second.
What you see here is a super lightweight drone that's really the only drone of its kind to be built specifically for outdoor light shows. The Intel Shooting Star can be super bright or very dim with countless color combinations.
Red, green, blue, white.
We have GPS for finding its way path in the sky. We also have a barometer for pressure sensing.
1,000 plus drones can be flown by one pilot. And the software behind all of this really makes the magic happen. It's the intersection between art and technology.
Look how far we've come from 100 drones to now we're here and we can say, of course we can fly 1,200 drones. It's a big leap for the team.
We flew at the opening ceremony. We flew at the Olympics. I can't believe that we've had such a great opportunity to showcase our technology here.
Yeah, it's amazing. Please go and have a look at it. It's absolutely magical to watch what these people have been able to achieve.
Have a good week, Aki. We'll do it again next week.